Welcome to Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, she is here to bring that knowledge to you. The information she shares will help those who hear it to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, there is no limit to what you can accomplish. Today and every Wednesday on Brain Lady Speaks, you'll explore the latest findings to see how they have practical application in your life. And now, get ready to join Julie Anderson on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. Take it away, Julie!
All right. Welcome to the Brain Lady Speaks show. This is Julie Brain Lady Anderson, and I am always excited to be with our listeners, and we're still, thank you everybody for tuning in, and we apologize for any hiccups. This is, as you can see, episode 2 of our video streams. We're actually in season 5, but this year we started with the videos, and we might have a little hiccup here and there, but I am really excited to have Dr. Renee Wellstein here as my guest today, because we're going to talk about something that is on everyone's mind, especially women right now with the last couple of years experiencing this thing called burnout. So we're going to discuss, is it real? What causes it? We're going to talk about what the symptoms are. And Dr. Renee is going to have some wonderful, wonderful. So thank you for being here, Dr. Renee.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm going to read your bio real quick so everybody kind of knows a little bit of your background.
Sounds good.
Dr. Renee is a double board certified doctor who has been working with women for over 20 years. And due to her own personal health challenges, she stepped outside of the box of conventional medicine, which I love that she did that, to take a radically different approach to heal herself from the deep depths of burnout. Throughout her journey, she has had her fair share of obstacles and has mastered the art of leaping into transitions with each pivot. Now, Dr. Renee empowers women to take control of their health, jumpstart their energy, and improve confidence and reignite their libido. So once again, thank you, Dr. Renee.
Thank you.
I can't wait to hear your background. And that's kind of where we'll start, if you don't mind, is I always like asking the people who come on the show, kind of what led you. So we read the technical background of what led you or who you are and what you do, but what led you, 20 years as a board certified doctor and tell us your story, kind of what led you to be a doctor in the first place. And then what led you to make the jump into the non-conventional type work?
Yeah. The jump was not very intentional, to tell you the truth. I started again in high school. I was that smart kid, excelled, and so I was always like, what can I do with my brain? I love science. I'm an empath. I love people. I feel their pain. Putting that all together in high school, for me, it was a no-brainer to become a physician. I thought about other, PA or other medical specialties, but I always knew that I needed to be in charge. That was my personality. I was the one who wanted to make the decision. So I decided to go to medical school and went on to become an obstetrician gynecologist, which I honestly thought I was going to be in that conventional role as an OBGYN, delivering the babies, operating until the day I died. And that all changed in 2012 when I fell off my horse and broke my back. And I always say that's where my story began because, up until then, I thought I had been living the dream life. At that time, I had 1-year-old twins. We had moved to the country from a suburb of New York City. And of course, I got my horse that I'd always wanted since I was a little girl, since I was 7. And it's that same horse that determined the fate of the rest of my life. And so, a couple of years after that injury, there were a lot of things going on, mentally, physically. First of all, I was sort of at the beginning of my injury given in a prognosis that wasn't very realistic. I'm a goal achiever. And when I'm told in 6 weeks, you're going to be back to normal, doing all the things. And at 6 weeks, when I'm not doing that, I felt like a failure. And up until then, I had never, you know, as a doctor, you're conditioned not to fail and always do things right. And all the things, all this conditioning that to this day, I'm still deconditioning myself. But And so that was that first time that I felt like a failure since obviously having my injury. And, you know, there was a series of quote unquote failures over the next couple of years in that I could no longer operate or deliver babies. So because of the back injury. So I, you know, my purpose in life felt like it was gone. You know, there was really no reason for me to get up in the morning, or so I thought. Physically, I was having a lot of symptoms. I was having, I couldn't get out of bed in the morning. I was living on caffeine to get through the day. And, you know, my diet wasn't the healthiest just because I did not feel good. And I really couldn't pinpoint where that was coming from. It all culminated in a night where I told my husband in bed that I couldn't go on living the way I was feeling. And that for me was the pivotal point of me seeking help. I didn't have a plan, but I definitely did not want to go on with my life. And so I went and saw my doc. And of course, I practice medicine. I know what she's going to say.
Right.
But, you know, she said, I think you have depression. And honestly, I remember sitting there thinking, gosh, and I told her, I said, I just never pictured this is what depression should feel like. I don't feel like I want to cry. I just don't feel energetic. I feel very fatigued. I'm just not motivated to do anything. And honestly, I want to go to the office, turn around, come home, lay on the couch all day.
Gotcha. So
fast forward 2 antidepressants later, both of them failed. They did not help me. They just made matters worse. I stumbled upon a functional medicine doc. And I was at my wit's end at this point because all of my colleagues, you know, here I am in the medical profession. You think like, oh, you have all your friends to help you. Nobody could help me. Everyone essentially was turning their back on me. They're like, we don't know what to do. You're going to have to live with your symptoms. So I decided at that time, you know, to consult a functional medicine doc. I didn't even know what they were, to tell you the truth. I had no idea. I had my blinders on for so many years in my conventional box.
Right.
So I hopped on the phone with this woman one night at 9 o'clock at night, and I had my computer on my lap. And within 30 minutes, she pretty much diagnosed me with burnout. She outlined the treatment protocol, which sounded very doable, did not require any medications,
right?
At least prescription, and offered me a job. And so when she offered me the job, I was like, I don't even know what you do. I'm sitting there Googling everything she's saying. I'm Googling this adrenal fatigue. No. I'm Googling, you know, treatment. And then I'm Googling functional medicine. And that right there, you know, at that moment when I realized that she had not only validated my symptoms, because at this point, up until this point, I thought I was going crazy.
Right.
Right. So she validated
how medical tests, the medical doctors are going, hey, everything, your blood work looks okay. This looks okay. So, hey, there's nothing wrong with you. Here, take this pill.
Exactly. And when the pill doesn't work, they don't know what else to do. And that depression pill x2 did not work. And so, you know, the fact that, you know, she validated my symptoms, she pretty much, when I looked up the symptoms of the condition, it fit me to a T. And I'm thinking, gosh, why didn't I'm a doctor. I'm a trained physician. How come I didn't know this?
Right.
And how many other women are out there suffering from the same condition and not getting help? And so when I read about what functional medicine was or is, you know, getting to the root cause of disease, it all fell into place that one night. And I'm like, this is definitely what I have to do with the rest of my life. This is my new life purpose. And I never look back. That was, gosh, almost 8 years ago now, actually 8 years this month or last month. So I'm very happy, you know, with going ahead with, continued education, got my fellowship completed in functional medicine, worked in her office for over 4 years and really still focusing on women's health.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Very like lots of little lessons in there that are just, you know, has my brain on fire because we see this happen a lot, and I'm not saying no, don't ever go see a traditional medicine. It has its place. My background started in studying in the field of natural health. So I always kind of had that passion. So I love the fact that where you saw that pivot. And I'm sure as a double board certified doctor, you will turn to both when it, if you need the other. So anyone listening, right, I want you to open your brains a little bit to this thought process. Of course, we're not giving medical advice here, right? You're going to need to consult anything that you're already dealing with, or any medical physician that you're already working with. So keep that in mind who are listening. But I love that story, how you had to really kind of shift the way that your brain looked at things to find the answer to your problem, or to your challenge, I should say. Mm-hmm. And those failures became learning experiences for you, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of mindset work, I have to say. You know, as a traditionally trained doctor, you don't really talk about mindset. We don't talk about, unless you're a neurologist, you don't talk about the brain.
Right.
It's very much protocol-based, algorithm, medication, and that's it. And you stay in your lane as far as what I did, delivering the babies, prescribing hormones. So when it came to my own recovery, and I found that the most foundational piece of my recovery was in my mind, which I thought this podcast is perfect, especially for my story, because until I recognized that and started doing work on that, which I continue to do to this day, I wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for me changing, even around that concept of failure, right? Now I view failure as just their lessons learned. I always learn something from something I don't immediately succeed at, which again, that was something I had to completely undo.
Yeah.
And, but without that shift in my mindset and working on it every single day, I wouldn't be here talking to you today.
Yeah. And I like what you just said, is that you work on it every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, traditional medicine is, here's the problem, here's the pill.
Yeah.
Right. But understanding that having a healthy mind and body takes, it's continual work, right? You have to stay on, top of keeping, you create those healthy habits and then you have to keep them. And the only way you're going to keep them is that daily reset, right? That daily thought process. So the first question that we were going to ask after your story was, is burnout real? So
I am an example that it is real. You know, the definition of burnout, there is a real definition, is a state of emotional and physical exhaustion that is brought upon by long periods of constant unrelenting stress. And it makes you feel depleted and dejected. And, you know, if I had known that back in the day, that was me. I was, living as an OBGYN, up every probably second or third night without sleep. At this point, I had, newborn to toddler twins, a husband that's also a physician that does practice conventional medicine, by the way. So we have it in our house, like the two sides of the spectrum. And, it was that constant unrelenting stress over years, medical school, residency, sleepless nights, poor diet, the kids. Then it all came to a head with that fall off the horse that put me over the edge. I think I was literally running on an adrenaline high up until then.
Mm-hmm. And did you realize it at the time?
No, right. No, yeah. Not at all. And so, and I didn't realize it for that 2 years later, or a year and a half later, that I'm having all these symptoms of burnout. And, in retrospect now, I think of all the women I had seen in the past as a conventionally trained OB, thinking it must be depression or just get some rest. And how, right? Like that's always the next question is like, okay, de-stress, how? But, I think the biggest part is that validation that it's not in your head, because a lot of women like myself, we feel exhausted, right? We feel fatigued from years of chronic stress, or even everyone's different. Their resiliency is different.
Right.
Their life circumstances are different. And, I think, again, the biggest part of my healing was just someone telling me this is real and it's not in your head. Again, most docs don't believe in burnout because there's not a test you can do. Yes, you can check your cortisol, and if it's quote unquote normal, when they check it in your blood at one time a day,
right?
You don't have any problems with your adrenals.
Yeah.
And it's probably one of the most common things that I currently still work with women on, and I have seen in my clinical practice.
Yeah. I think that's really important for a lot of the listeners. I work with high performing leaders, corporate leaders, and, CEOs, C-suite, and a lot of them don't realize that they're in burnout when they're in burnout, you know, because they're just so used to that. This is what they do every day. Like you were, you know, you just got up, you went to work, you delivered the babies, you did this on a daily basis. And it wasn't until you were forced through the injury, through the accident to stop, that your body was like, oh, okay. just push pause. Let's just collapse.
Yep. I mean, I like many of your clients, I'm sure I was going 150 miles an hour, you know, just trying to keep everything, all the balls in the air, and they all fell to the ground when I had my injury. And I was literally at rest for 6 months. Like I was on the couch, you know, with a walker and a shower chair and all the things. So it really gave me a time for my body to sort of catch up and be, and think like, what are you doing? What, like, you can't keep doing this. Like, this is it. You know, this was literally the straw that broke the camel's back, you know? Yeah. And you know, if it weren't for that injury, I'm not sure how much longer I would have gone in that mode before I was one of those former patients of mine laying on, you know, on the bed in the office saying like, I can't get up in the morning. I don't know, but that was my story. And I think everyone, you know, I've seen everything in retrospect of a mom, single mom to five kids working three jobs, coming in saying, I'm exhausted. Right.
Yeah.
And of course, and again, like you said, this is not medical advice, you know, definitely go see your doctor. But for her, the same thing, we can put an antidepressant on her, but I don't think it was depression, you know, and I'm sure that's what, and I say this one story because it was interesting. I had been training as a functional medicine doc for 6 months while I was still in the conventional world. And I started to notice these women coming in having the same thing I had. And of course it was kind of like voodoo medicine that I was practicing to tell them like, it's, you know, adrenal issues, you have burnout, like do this, this, and this. Like meanwhile in that world, it was prescribed a pill, which again, we don't have that pill for burnout. So it's a lot of TLC. And I think a lot of high achieving executives or people like myself, you know, I think when we step back and realize that to heal your burnout or start working on healing your burnout, you'll be even more productive.
Yes.
It's mind blowing. You know, like when you stop and think of that, like just a little TLC, a little self-care will get you to perform even better than just pushing through it.
Absolutely. And if you are one of those individuals listening and you're like, well, I'm running every day and I feel good. You might be in burnout and not even realize it. And for you, the straw has not been thrown on your back quite yet. Mm-hmm. And to not wind up in that position where you go into a complete crash, that's where it takes that taking the pause once a week, getting out in nature, doing all these different things, feeding yourself, your brain, your mind, doing all of that in such a way that you can avoid that happening. Yep. So for you right now, since there may be people listening going, well, I don't know if I have it. I'm a high performer and I seem to be doing okay. What are some of those warning signs? What are some of those symptoms that they need to burn out that they may not realize is actually saying you're in burnout, you need to take pause?
Yeah. A lot of things we make fun of, right? Like I can't get out of bed in the morning without hitting my alarm five times, right? That might be that you're really exhausted, you know, or you're not getting good quality sleep. But if you're going to bed at 9 o'clock and you're still hitting that snooze button 10 times, I have to ask yourself like, why? Like, are you that exhausted? You know, turning to stimulants and sugar throughout the day for that energy. Again, something we always like, I see it on social media all the time. Oh, you know, I need my afternoon pick me up, or I need, you know, the candy bar to get going or get to the gym. Why? Like, why do you need that energy? And, you know, yes, sometimes we can get a dip in energy and I get it. Right. But if this is somebody like myself, and I'm speaking for myself because I was that person that I could not get out of bed in the morning. I was dragging. All I could think of when I got up was, when can I lay down again? When can I take a nap? When can I go back to bed? And, you know, I would turn to that cup of coffee or two or three to get even started. Right. And then I'd always have to have something in the afternoon. And the other thing, the big thing for me is like, a lot of times it trickles down to unhealthy eating habits because you're so exhausted. So what I would personally do is I would go to the refrigerator, open the doors, and I would have healthy food in there. I would have salad mix. And no, that seemed too hard for me. Like to comprehend even putting lettuce in a bowl. That's how bad it was. Like, I'm like, I am so tired. I would literally close the fridge, go over to the cabinets, grab a bag of chips and clean the whole bag. Mm-hmm. And a couple of things, yes, that satisfied, you know, a hunger, but also the cravings, because a lot of times you'll get cravings for salt and obviously the sweet. And it's just that reward center in our brain too. Like we're craving that feel good feeling from certain foods. So, you know, we turn to it for both the stimulant effect, and the sugar, of course, gives us that little quick burst of energy.
Right.
But then you definitely do sometimes, I don't say definitely do, many times we'll have a little bit of an electrolyte imbalance in that you crave salts. So the, you know, the chips and just the convenience. So, and then you find yourself, and again, this is a fine line between depression and burnout, but like you know, I wanted to do things with my kids, but I physically did not feel like I was able to, I was that tired. Versus depression, a lot of times you just don't feel like doing anything, you know, even if you had the energy level. So, and again, consult your doc and make sure it's not depression. But, you know, if you see your doc and it's not depression, I would just start entertaining, like, could it be burnout? Because again, a lot of times it is just a little TLC for yourself. You don't need that prescription medication, but you know, again, this day long fatigue, especially in the morning, relying on certain foods to get you through the day, just feeling like unmotivated, uninspired to just show up for your, even yourself throughout the day. Weight gain is a big one too, especially for women. And especially in the central area, because we have, I don't want to get too sciencey, but we have four times the number of cortisol receptors, which is the stress hormone we're particularly talking about right now, in our abdominal area. So when it gets stimulated from chronic stress, that's where we gain the weight. So there's that. And there's also those unhealthier eating habits that we start to develop because of all in the name of exhaustion.
Right. And once you train your brain, once your brain connects that trigger to that, you know, to, okay, this is the trigger, this is what I go for because it makes me feel better, or it gives me that instant push. Well, now that wiring has now been coded in your brain.
Yep.
So then it works. It actually works against you. Your brain doesn't always work in your favor, right? It works against you. And so it sends you from the refrigerator where the healthy food is over to the cupboard because it knows I'm tired, I'm exhausted, that's going to give me the quickest fix.
Yep.
So you have to, that's where that shift comes, right? You have to.
And I think a lot of people don't even pause enough to know that trigger, right? Like they just are so conditioned to
autopilot.
Walk in and grab the chips, because I think that became me as well. Like I stopped going to the fridge. I would just go to the cabinet because I'm like, I'm not going to find anything that's going to satisfy my hunger and my craving and my convenience level in the fridge. So I'm just going to go to the cabinet. And so I think, you know, it was part of my recovery as well, is that awareness of like, why am I doing this? And, you know, I do think that's part of the recovery, is like the awareness, you know, around stress, which is the big component to, you know, of the underlying root cause, but also, you know, the habits that we have formed because of the exhaustion. And now they're just so programmed and they're just like who we are. We identify, you know, like I'm a chip eating doctor, you know, that's who I became, not a salad eating doctor, which is different now, but so it's, you know, those are the biggest symptoms. I mean, I can get nitty gritty, but I think almost 100% of the women I work with exhibit one, if not all of those symptoms of the exhaustion, the living on certain foods, the weight gain, and just that feeling of being unmotivated. And for a woman, I mean, I work with men for a short period of time, but for women, it hits home when you don't feel unmotivated, you feel like a failure, right? Like you don't, right? And like, it just is this self-sabotaging cycle that we get ourselves into that is not going to heal us from burnout.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so much of what you're saying just resonates so strongly. And it's something that I agree. Women tend to suffer from more. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to get into a battle of the sexes here because it's not that. It's just our roles in society and even the way our brain is made up. You know, I talk about the difference between the male and female brain and the corpus callosum and all this kind of stuff, but women tend to do more multiple variety of things, whereas men are just kind of more single thought focused. And so they can make those adjustments with a little less guilt, Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, not that there aren't plenty of men out there in burnout. My husband's one of them. Mm-hmm. Right. But I agree. It tends to be something with women that it's, mm-hmm. it's a larger issue, which then becomes self-deprecating, right? Because it's like, well, why am I this way? Why do I, you know, he can do it. Why can't I do it? Mm-hmm. You know, all that kind of stuff. So let's go over for a few minutes. What are some simple steps that if the listeners are watching and they're going, or they're listening on the podcast, they're saying, oh man, that sounds just like me. What are some simple steps that someone can start doing right now, today, when they're done listening, that can help them?
Yeah. You know, a couple are sort of around mindset. You know, the easiest to do, which is I call them the ABCs, awareness. Again, like you said, you know, around not only the habits that you form, but awareness around your stressors and starting to sort of get a plan as far as how to take action, because it's just going to continue again to be a vicious cycle if we stay in that hamster wheel of the stress that we're in. You know, we have to start intervening little by little with what it is that's stressing us out, just to run around flapping our arms saying, we're stressed about what? You know, is it finances? Is it relationship? Is it, you know, children? Is it your job? There was a study that was done, I don't even know the year, long time ago, where they actually would trap a mouse versus cutting off their appendages. And the worst stressor of the two was actually trapping the mouse. So feeling trapped mm-hmm. in a relationship, feeling trapped in a job, worse stress, right? Like you can literally cut off a foot, you know, or something in that cortisol response, that stress response wasn't as high as feeling trapped. So, you know, is that you? Like, are you waking up every morning hating your job? And again, I'm not saying leave your job, but
right.
Like, let's make a plan. Let's recognize it. And is there something else you can do mm-hmm. and start taking steps towards that? So awareness is key. Boundaries. I think a lot of people that get into the scenario of burnout, like they feel like they have to overcompensate for their feeling of lack and not enough, and I'm unmotivated, so I have to do more for everybody else, right? Mm-hmm. So they start saying yes, they start doing for everyone else. And that kind of goes with communication as well. You know, we start not saying what we need. And so I think, again, I work with women, so it's not a man versus woman kind of thing. I just have so much more experience with women in this area, that a lot of times we just don't say what we need. And I think to help with that stress and the boundaries and saying no, we also should feel comfortable with being able to ask others, our kids, our spouses, our friends, what they can help us with. I have my four D's. What do you have to do? Because as women, I think we put way too much on our list on a daily basis, right?
Yep.
We put 10 things, but we know we can only get 3 things done. Yeah. So like, what are those 3 things that you have to do? What can you delegate? What can someone else do? Right. And don't be like a Dr. Renee thinking that you can do it better than everyone else, because I have now come to realize that other people can do it as well as I, including my husband. Mm-hmm. What can you delete? What can come off your list completely? And what can you put off until tomorrow or next week or next month? So I think, you know, just those are just like simple little like sitting and pausing and being present to think of what's going on.
Thinking. Right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then again, rest, sleep is so important. I think a lot of women, when we get to the point where we're in burnout and we are feeling like we want to sleep all the time, we start depriving ourselves from the sleep. Whereas in the initial stages of healing, sometimes you do have to take that afternoon nap versus getting another cup of coffee, right?
Yeah.
Going to bed at a decent hour. Don't stay up to midnight. Try to go to bed by 10 at the latest, because there is a condition with burnout whereby it's like the middle stage. If you don't go to bed by 10, your cortisol can actually start going back up again.
Right. You get that second kick.
Second win. And that was me.
These off. Don't be on these right before you go to bed.
No. I mean, that just gets your mind going too, right? And the blue light, all of it. So I think, putting the phones away a solid hour, if not more, before going to bed, dimming your lights, you know, just making it a cool bedroom, a really pleasant sleeping experience, you know, no TV in your bedroom. Your bedroom is for sleeping and other things, not watching television. And, you know, and don't beat yourself up in the morning when you can't get up. Like, it's going to be a struggle when you're initially healing, but mm-hmm. if you can sleep, the most restorative times of sleeping in the morning for people with burnout is between 7 and 9 a.m. So mm-hmm. if you can sleep in, do so, if you don't have to get up early. And, you know, nutrition's huge.
But that's,
yeah. And I always say, like, it's simple, but it's not always easy when you have burnout, because like I was an example that it was hard for me to start changing some of those dietary habits that I had fallen into and that became my norm. But I think, like you had said earlier, just the recognition and also recognizing that they're not helping my healing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't change everything all at once in 24 hours, right? That's not sustainable either.
Right. Yes.
I just started like cutting down on the coffee little by little, you know, changing one breakfast maybe a week that was, you know, a healthier choice, and then like swapped in the meals as the weeks went on. And I would say it was probably 6 months before I felt like getting physically active. So I think it was, I started my journey around January. By May, I think I started actually getting up in the morning without my alarm. I was like, whoa, what is this? Yeah. And then I actually felt like exercising. So I started exercising, which helped. And again, with burnout, you don't want to do like HIIT exercise. You want to do more restorative, like a walk in nature is so restorative, connects you with nature. It's just gets you some fresh air. You know, you get your, especially in the morning, you get your circadian rhythm set with the sunshine.
Yep.
And you know, so nutrition, starting to just make healthier choices and start crowding out the unhealthier choices.
Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that it doesn't, what happens a lot of times is you get in this, you get that, okay, I'm going to do this. And high achievers, which are normally the ones that suffer from burnout, right? They're going to be the ones, and not, I shouldn't say normally, a large group of high achievers, because every woman out there, every man out there can suffer from burnout depending on what their life is like, right? But those individuals who are high achievers like you, right? Doctor, all that kind of stuff. They're like, okay, I'm going to do this. And they instantly think, I'm going to change all of these habits right here. I'm going to start tomorrow morning and it's all going to change. Mm-hmm. And the brain goes, I can't do all this at once. I can't do this. And so your brain actually sabotages your progress, right? So you have to be kind to your brain, and you have to get your brain to work with you. So when you get your brain to work with you, then success is incredible. But there's all those neurochemical things that we could go into for a whole nother program, right? That happen when you are attacking these different changes, and it is that stop and pause and think and what are these little things that I can do that I can start to implement week after week that eventually get you right. You can't jump up a 12-story building in one jump. You have to take each step up the story. So.
And I always say you didn't get here overnight. You know, like in my condition, it happened over years. Although for me, it felt like it would happened overnight. But so I always say to my clients and former patients, you didn't get here overnight. You're not going to get better overnight. So like why? It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So what's the rush, right? And like you said, like those changes, like we're already dealing with overwhelmed people. Like if we put all these changes on, they may do them for a day, a week, but not longer than that.
Right.
It's just not going to be sustainable.
Right. Because your brain's going to go, I can't do this.
Exactly.
I cannot do this all at once. And it's going to sabotage you. Oh, well, we could continue talking about this for, I just love this conversation. And I think we could just keep going, but we need to keep it for the listeners at a reasonable length. So let's talk about how individuals can connect with you more. So we were talking before we started the recording, you have a Facebook group?
I do. I have a free Facebook community. It's private, but it's free. It's The Real Heal with Dr. Renee. It's also, I have a podcast, The Real Heal, where we talk about lots of different holistic health concepts. So take a listen, come join the group. I go live weekly answering questions, obviously talk about the podcast episodes with different guests and myself talking about different topics. So that is a great way to tap in, because there are a lot of community members. We're close to 950 members. A lot have burnout. Many have burnout because, you know, 2 years ago, I was actually going across the country on TV talking about burnout during the pandemic. So a lot of people found me during that time and joined. So you will not be alone in that community when we're talking about burnout.
Very nice. Very nice. I love that. That's a great resource. And again, want to remind anyone who's listening, if you are suffering from depression, please don't think it's nothing. right? Please don't wake up and say, I just got to get over this. There is definitely seek out the assistance, seek out the help, because you don't want to get to that point that Dr. Renee did, where she wakes up or she goes to bed. I can't remember if it was morning or night. And you just say, I don't want to go anymore. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't want to keep living. You don't want to get to that point. So if we get some assistance, from wherever you choose to connect with Dr. Renee, and she will be a wealth, obviously, of information for that. Stay connected with her. She also, I think Kelly put up for us, or producer put up, the Facebook. So you're on Facebook, you can connect, Instagram, you can connect with her, YouTube. You have a YouTube, and then the podcast, and all of those links are going to be in the show description on YouTube and on our podcast outlets. So be sure to do that and stay connected. Dr. Renee, thank you so much for being our guest here today. This was wonderful to have you. I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation, and we'll have to have you on again in the future, because obviously we could keep talking.
That's usually the case. Get talking about brain and burnout, we could talk for hours. So thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And for those who are listening, I am honored that you took the time to stay with us and to listen, and hopefully you found something beneficial. You can stay connected with me, Brain Lady Julie, on all of the outlets as well. All of those links will be there. I'm Brain Lady on Twitter. I am Julie Brain Lady on Instagram and LinkedIn and all of the above, but all of those you can stay. If you liked the show, give us a thumbs up, share us out. This is information that is beneficial to so many people. So share the link, let other people hear this message, and maybe you will really literally save someone a ton of stress. And who knows, maybe even their life, if they are in that position where they needed to hear this message. So thank you everyone for being on the show. Thank you, Dr. Renee. And for all the listeners, until next time, take a deep breath and simply enjoy every moment.